All right, let's go ahead and pray. Father God, I thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to minister to your women, Father. I yield myself as a vessel to be used by you, Father. I open up my heart. I yield my tongue as a pen of a ready writer, dear God, to speak the words that you want shared with your women, Lord. You know that it's our heart's desire to be better women, to be better women. And we're looking to you, Father God, for wisdom. We're looking for Holy Spirit to be the revealer of truth. We thank you, dear God, in Jesus' precious name, all in agreement, say amen, amen, amen. I'm so happy you guys pressed in. I know Saturdays can be days in which, you know, some people just look forward to sleeping on Saturday, sleeping in because you don't have to get up early for work if you work Monday through Friday. Saturday can be a day in which, you know, if you were busy working all week, you know, Saturday is kind of your catch-up day. You know, you can do those wonderful things like the laundry and cleaning up the house and stuff like that, things that you didn't have time to do during the week. So I am so thankful that you guys took time out of your busy schedules to come here, because I really believe that Holy Spirit has some truths that he wants to reveal to us to help us become better women. And you know, that's my heart's desire, is to share with all of us, including myself, things that can help us be better. All right, because that aligns right with what Pastor is always telling us. And you know, he's always talking about how we are to be perfect as the Father in heaven is perfect. And that verse is in Matthew 5:48. And if we're not perfect, we should be perfecting ourselves. All right. So we're either perfect or we're perfecting ourselves. All right. And that word perfecting is an adjective, which means you are in a state of ongoing improvement. All right. You're in a state of ongoing improvement. You are in the process of becoming perfect or flawless. And so if we're going to be better women, which is our goal, right? Then we are, our mindset should be that of continuous growth. All right. I found this one quote, and it says, every day and in every way, I'm getting better and better. All right. Every day and every way, I'm getting better and better. But you know what? That's not just going to automatically happen. It's not just going to happen if I just, you know, say it, confess that quote over and over again. It's not just going to automatically happen. There's things that we have to do. We have to be in that process of continuous growth. All right. So what I have on my heart to talk about are three different areas of things that can help us be better women. One being a woman of the word, two being a woman of prayer, and three being a woman that seeks Holy Spirit's guidance. All right. These are three things that I've been doing in my own personal life, and I've seen how they benefited me. All right. They've made a difference in my life. And the three of these things, it was kind of hard as I was preparing for this, because they all kind of go hand in hand, all right? But I trust Holy Spirit's going to help convey the things that need to be said today regarding those three areas. The first thing is being a woman of the word. I found this quote. It says, do the best you can until you know better. Then when you know better, do better, all right? When you know better, you do better. So in order for us to do better, we need to know what we need to do to be better. All right? Simple, right? And the Bible is our instruction manual. All right? It's our instruction manual. It's going to tell us how we can be better women. All right? It's going to tell us how we can be better women. But in order for us to be better women of God, you know, we need to have something to gauge our progress. And it's not what the world says. It's not what the world says that, you know, you're supposed to be this. If you're going to be a woman, this is what you need to be. We don't use the world to define how we're supposed to be as women, how we're supposed to behave as women, how we're supposed to dress as women. We need to use the word of God. The Bible is what we should be using to gauge how well we are doing as women. And it's going to let us know whether or not we're on target. And then if we're taking heed to the things that we're reading and the things that we're hearing that's related to the word, you know, we can use that to gauge what we need to do next. All right. Just like someone that is a runner, I just recently took up because I'm trying to train for a 5K, all right, run, walk a 5K, all right, and my daughter gave me her Apple Watch so that I could kind of, you know, gauge what my time is. Now, I'm not trying to have no Olympic time, all right, but, you know, you want to make sure that you're, like, on target, all right. So the other day I was up there running and I thought I was doing really good. All right. When I say running, I don't want you to think that I'm like that Olympic, you know, just I run, walk. All right. I run for 2 minutes, then I walk for 20 seconds. All right. So I'm out there doing that and I'm up there thinking that I am doing really good. I mean, I felt good. It seemed like my form was really good and I felt like I was keeping up pace until I was all done and I looked at the watch. I thought there was something wrong with the watch because the time that they were showing wasn't how I felt like I was progressing. And, you know, that can sometimes happen to us in our Christian walk. We think we're doing real, real, real good until you come to church and you hear a word from Thus Saith the Lord. And it's like, oh, man. Or you start reading the word yourself, you know, and they're like, well, you know, I thought I was doing pretty good. You know, I'm off here a little bit. All right. So the word of God needs to be our gauge and the word is essential if we're going to be better women. All right. The Bible will help us. It will benefit us. If you even just look at 2 Timothy 3:16-17, in the King James Version, it reads all scripture. Say all scripture. All scripture. So that means every single scripture that is in there, it can benefit you. All right. It says all scripture is given by inspiration of God and it is profitable, meaning it's going to benefit you. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof. And sometimes we don't want the reproof. But how many of you know that if you're going to be better, you need to know what you're not doing right so you can make the needed adjustments. For correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. All right. You know, there are things that we can even glean from the Old Testament. A lot of people, they just kind of want to shy from the Old Testament. You know, especially when you read some of those books like where it's just nothing but numbers, all these numbers, or when they were describing how the tabernacle was built and all the detail. Well, there's things that we can even glean from things in the Old Testament. All right. Romans 15:4 says that the Old Testament was written for our learning. So there's things that I can learn from the Old Testament. All right. There's examples. In the Old Testament. And that's one other thing that they say about the Old Testament, that the Old Testament was written as examples for us. All right. Examples for us. Why? So that we can learn from their mistakes. All right. But then we can also learn from the good that they did. All right. So there's also examples in the Old Testament of, women that did things right. And women that didn't do things right. And we can learn from both of those examples, all right? The Bible was written to provide the guidance that we need to be better. Like I said, if we're going to be better, we need to know what we need to do, all right? And the Bible is our instruction manual. It provides us the guidance that we need. The purpose of the Bible is to guide and to teach us. But you know what? If you don't read it, you're going to miss out on the teaching, all right? You're going to miss out on the teaching. You know, the Bible says in Psalms 37 that that the steps of a good man, and you can even add a good woman, they're what? They're ordered of the Lord. That's Psalms 37:23. All right. The steps of a good man and woman, they're ordered of the Lord. But if you don't read what the Word of God says, you don't know where you need to go. You're not going to get the guidance that you need. The Bible, it will reveal the real you. All right, you may fool the sister that is sitting next to you. They may think you got all your act together. But you know what? The Bible's going to reveal the real you. All right? And that's not a bad thing. Because I don't want to be deceived in thinking that I'm better than I am. All right? I'm going to say that again. I don't want to be deceived in thinking that I'm better than I actually am. Because if I... goes back to what we said before. If you know better, then you have an opportunity to do better, but you're not going to do better unless you make that decision to do better. But if I'm going to do better, I have to know better. And the Bible helps me know better. In James 1, 23 through 25, in the Amplified Bible, it likens the Word of God to a mirror. I think it's this library that has, is it this library that has the beautiful mirror? Oh, the Royal Palm Beach Library. Huge mirror. You walk in there and you can see everything from head to toe, which can be a good thing, all right? Because you want to know when you're looking in a mirror how you look. That way you know what you need to change and what you need to straighten out so that you will look better, all right? Same thing as far as the Word of God. When I open up the Word, I want to see what the Word has to say. I want the Word to really, the real me wants the Word to reveal to me how I really am and those things that I need to change. All right? So we have to fit reading the Word into our schedule. And you know what? I almost think the Bible is a lost art. I mean, there's some young people that, you know, and I'm going to say this because I wrote it down that I wanted to say it later. If you don't have an actual Bible, I mean, a physical, now mine is big, but this is the one that I use at home. It doesn't have to be a big Bible. It can be a small Bible, whatever, but you need to actually have an actual Bible. And when pastor talks about like the different I use other translations, all right? But my go-to translation is the King James, all right? It's the King James. And then, you know, because sometimes like the Amplified Bible, you can read that. And sometimes it just, you know, amplifies. It has all these other adjectives so you can better understand what is being said. Like this Bible here, the reason it's so big, it's the King James and then the Amplified is on the other side. All right. But so if you don't have an actual Bible, you need to get an actual Bible because not being one that's like, what is the term? You know, they're just doing things. Do you know what I'm saying? And you can't just trust everything that is out there, you know, if they're altering things, AI is just altering and having, you'll see these videos and there's certain celebrities and they're doing these things, but they say it ain't even them. It's AI that just, you know what I'm saying? Just imagine what they can do to the Bible, you know, and if you don't know what the Word says, you may, because the devil's subtle, all right? And even the translations, you have to watch. Because it can just be a subtle thing that they change in the Word, all right? So my go-to Bible is the King James. Yes, I do use other translations, but I'm making sure that they line up with what the King James, you know, has to say. All right, so we have to fit reading the Word into our schedule if we're going to be better women. And I have found that just reading through the entire Bible has benefited me. All right, reading the entire Bible. I remember, you know, my dad was always, well, actually, when we went to Rhema, that's one thing that the Hagans did with their kids. They would have them go through the Bible. They had the one-year Bible, and they would go through that every single year. Well, my dad used to do that, and that kind of inspired me. Well, you know what? I want to do that. But at the time, I guess I just wasn't, well, I just wasn't disciplined enough to do it because I kept getting behind. I was like so many months behind, you know what I'm saying? But then I had it on my heart where, you know, I wanted to read the entire Bible. And I started doing that in 2022, and I've been doing it since then. And just the benefit of reading the entire Bible, because if you're to wait for pastor to, preach something that's in the Old Testament, a certain verse, he may never get to that verse. All right. And like I said, the Bible was written for our benefit, to profit us. And there's things that we can learn from all the scriptures. And when you're reading through the entire Bible, you can also see the continuity of the scripture, how the things in the Old Testament, you know, and the things in the New Testament, how everything just intertwines and they relate to one another. I don't have the type of Bible where I don't write in it. I write in it, all right? And those notes have helped me, and sometimes I'll even cross-reference things that are in another passage. Why? Because it's helping me understand what the Word of God is saying, all right? So reading the Word can benefit you. You can see the continuity of the Word. You can also see the examples of, I mentioned this earlier about the different women in the Bible, in the Old Testament. You know, we know some of the common stories, like we can recall, like, you know, Delilah and, you know, what she did, and even Queen Esther, you know, we know those common Bible stories, but how many of us, and we might even know about Job's foolish wife. She was labeled, I wouldn't want to be in the Bible being referred to as foolish. You know what I'm saying? But she's in there. And we know about Queen Esther. But how many of you know about Queen Vashti? I'm not sure if that's how you pronounce her name. Queen Vashti. All right. Well, I had never heard of that woman before. But because I was reading through the Bible, and at first I was going to tell you who she is. Those of you that don't know who she is, you need to look her up, all right? She's the reason Queen Esther got her crown, all right? So you don't want to be like Queen Vashti, who lost her crown, all right? All right, so there's things like that, but I would have never known about her is pastor going to talk about her? He might. But there's truths that you can glean from the Bible, all right? And when you read the whole Bible, it will benefit you, all right? So I just want to encourage all of you, if you're not doing it right now, make it a goal. Now, you don't have to have the goal where you read the whole Bible in 1 year. You make it fit your schedule. You know, you can be on a 2-year. You may not even have a plan. But I like having where I can have a guideline, and I have different plans that I've gone through. I think the first time when I did it, my brother had recommended, well, you know, Helen, you might want to do the chronological. I did not like it. It was nice to be able to see, because if you look at the Bible, you might think, well, it starts with Genesis, and it goes consistently until Revelations, but it isn't. Things are all over the place, and that's what the chronological Bible enables you to see. But I didn't like the fact that I would read one verse here, and then I had to read another verse over here. I was flip-flopping all over the place, but I made sure that I finished it, so I did it, all right? But there's a lot of different plans out there. You find something that's going to work for you, and it doesn't have to be a year, but I'm going to tell you, if you do that, it will benefit you. It will benefit you. All right. The bottom line is that you're reading the Bible so you can become a better you. That's your guideline. That's your, the gauge. All right. That's our instruction manual. The next thing is that we need to be women of prayer. All right. And this being a woman of prayer even ties in with reading the Word, because you're going to need Holy Spirit to help you as you read the Word, all right? Especially when you're reading some of the things that are in the Old Testament, all right? Connecting with God the Father consistently has been a game changer in my life, all right? It's been a game changer. And what really got me into developing my prayer life This was probably the only good thing that COVID did. The lockdown, all right? We couldn't go nowhere. Everyone had to stay at home. There was a period of time in which we had to stay at home. And I took advantage of that time in which I had to stay at home just to get more into the Word and to kind of develop, you know, in my relationship with the Lord in prayer. And that has really helped me. So it's important that we develop a prayer life, because that's what it is. It's not just something that you, you know, just pray over your meals and stuff. Like, that's a start, but it has to be a prayer life. And what I would like to encourage all of you, that if you have not made prayer a priority in your life, start now. All right. For some of you, it might be just something as simple as praying over your food. Because maybe you don't. We're living in a day, hey, you better pray over your food. You know what I'm saying? But it might be that, consistently praying over your food. And see, prayer isn't anything complicated. It's just you talking to God and God talking back to you. You know, and you don't have to have any eloquent language and stuff. And I can see over the years how my prayer life has progressed. It's gotten better and better, and it's gotten more intimate. But the reason it has become more developed is because, you know, I was praying, and you learn how to pray by praying. All right. I hooked myself up with resources that could help me in my prayer life. I have a prayer group that I belong to, and just learning from those individuals praying and watching them pray has helped me. But then also, you know, just seeking God for wisdom and direction on how to pray, you know, and just don't try and complicate it, you know, because sometimes we try and complicate it. We make it so, where it's so rigid that we got to do like there's a certain formula that you got to follow. You don't have to follow a formula. All right. Another good place to start is just with those prayer cards that Pastor gave us. All right. We got lots of those cards that are always on the table. But how many people in the church actually use them? All right. And I know when I started becoming more serious about being a woman of prayer, in the beginning, it was kind of like a formula. I just took the card and I'm just reading it. Well, that's where I was in the beginning. You know what I'm saying? But it's not just you reading or praying those prayers. You got to use your faith. You got to believe that when you're praying, that the eyes of your understanding, that they would be enlightened, that God's going to help you, that Holy Spirit's going to open up your eyes of your understanding. And I found that when I started doing that and just started believing God, that even when I was reading, doing my daily reading, reading through the Word, that my eyes were things that I didn't really see before in the Word. It's like they popped up, like that one, that queen, Vashti. Wow, I don't want to be like her, you know? And then there's other queens in there, things that they did that wasn't right. You know what I'm saying? But my eyes were opened up. So when you become a woman of prayer, it's going to benefit you, all right? Being a woman of prayer is going to replenish you, all right? Because how many of you know that life, hey, it has a draining effect. Life will just try and suck the entire life out of you, all right, if you let it, all right? But being a woman of prayer, it will replenish you. And I found that my time in prayer has helped replenish me so that I'm not as stressed as I used to be. Not saying that I don't have stressors, that there aren't stressors and there aren't things that try to come against me. Like just when I was coming here and running into all that hassle getting here, I just felt on the inside, hey, you know what? Just be calm, cool, calm, and collective. All right? Don't let it get to you. But see, that's what having a life of prayer is going to do. It's going to replenish you. You know, peace in your home, it begins with you. You know, you've heard me say the old saying before that, you know, if mama ain't happy, ain't nobody going to be happy. Why? Because mama ain't going to let them be happy. All right? When you're stressed, it's going to affect those people that are in your household. All right? And what I have found is that even though things may be hectic, I'm still I still have peace on the inside because I'm connected with Jehovah Shalom, all right? The God of peace, all right? And he gives me the peace that surpasses understanding, because you may be going through something. People may wonder, well, how can she be so calm? How can she be so cool during that? Well, it's because of God, all right? He gives you peace to go through whatever you may be going through, all right? I know, like the other day, I was looking in the mirror, you know, just getting myself ready, and you know, I could notice that there was something different about me. For the, you know, you might think, why? Well, I mean, I'm drinking a lot more water. Maybe it's the water just. But, you know, I don't think that's it. I think there's peace. There's more peace in my life because I'm connected to God the Father. I'm connected to him. And I'm connected to him in prayer, but also connected with him in the word. All right. So, and the other thing is that this ties in as far as the Holy Spirit, and it also ties into the next thing that we're going to talk about as far as helping us be better women, is that prayer connects you to Holy Spirit. All right? It connects you to Holy Spirit. And this is important, because if you're going to be a better woman, you need the help of Holy Spirit. All right? You need the help of Holy Spirit. My relationship with Holy Spirit. And see, Holy Spirit, it's not the Holy Spirit, because he's a person, all right? And it's a relationship that you have to have with. And my relationship with Holy Spirit was, part of it was like just rekindled and strengthened when some of the ladies, we went to Tampa. We went to that women's conference, all right? While we were there, I had an opportunity, to talk to Dr. Rodney Howard Brown, and he decided to give me 4 books. And the ladies that were there, they saw the books. They weren't like little thin books like this. They were like thick books like this. And he was very specific. He didn't tell his little guy that was with him, you know, just go get 4 books from the bookstore. He was specific which 4 books that he wanted to give to me, all right? And I, you know, kind of told myself and felt impressed on the inside that, hey, if the man of God is giving me these 4 books, there's something in those 4 books that's going to benefit me, all right? All the books were really good. I read every single one of those books, and they were a blessing. One of the books was entitled Holy Spirit, and that book just kind of help strengthen and reinforce my relationship with Holy Spirit, that, hey, he's my helper. He's a person, and he's there with me wherever I go, and that I need to draw on help of Holy Spirit as I go about my everyday life. All right. And so what I want to tell you all is that if you are born again, you have Holy Spirit on the inside of you. All right. So you have access to help that will help you be a better woman. There is help, all right? Because if you're born again, you have Holy Spirit on the inside of you. 1 John 4:4 says that you are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You've got the greater one on the inside of you. But see, the devil wants you to think that there's no hope. The devil wants you to think that he's greater, all right? But no, if you're born again, you've got Holy Spirit on the inside of you, all right? And that's something that you got to know. You got to realize that I've got the greater one on the inside of me. I can be a better woman of God, not because of what I know. You may know some stuff, but it's not dependent on what you know. It's dependent on the greater one that's on the inside of you that can help you be a better woman, all right? John 14:17 says, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, welcome, take to its heart, because it does not see him or know or recognize him, but you know and recognize him. You know, that needs to be our confession, that I know him. And I reckon, you may feel like, you know, I don't know. No, that's not, the Bible says you know him and you recognize him. He's on the inside of you. Make that your confession And you're going to find the more you expect Holy Spirit to help you, the more you're going to see his hand helping you in your life. All right? But you know and recognize him. Why? Because he lives with you constantly and will be in you. So the Holy Spirit dwells in every believer, and he's there to help us. He's there to help us. But you know what? So many Christians just go through life defeated, not realizing that there's someone right there wanting to help, willing to help, able to help, but they just won't let them help them. Or they don't even realize that they got the greater one in the end because they had never been taught. All right? So you may be one of those that you didn't realize that you had the greater one on the inside of you. No, you've got the greater one on the inside of you. If you're born again, you've got the greater one on the inside of you. All right? And then in John 14, 26, I like the Amplified version where it talks about what the Holy, and this is just some of the stuff that the Holy Spirit can do. But it's some good stuff. There's like seven qualities of the Holy Spirit, the magnificent seven. Seven things. But this just doesn't limit everything that he does. It says, but the comforter, counselor, helper, intercessor, advocate, strengthener, standby, the Holy Spirit. That's what the Holy Spirit is. He's the comforter. He's the counselor. He's the helper. He's the intercessor. He's the advocate. He's the strengthener. He's the standby. Whom the Father will send in my name, in my place, to represent me and act on my behalf, he will teach you all things. He'll teach you all things. He'll teach you what you need to know to be a better woman. Because what I need to know to be a better woman may be different than you. All right? Because we're all different. There might be strengths, areas that I'm progressing in, that maybe that's an area that you're not progressing in, but you need help in that area. And there might be areas in which you're progressing in that I'm not progressing in and I need help in. All right. So it's not like a cookie cutter. You know, God just says, all right, everyone just gets this. No, he makes sure that we get what we need. All right. And it's all in the word. And Holy Spirit is there to help us, to teach us all things. And he will cause you to recall, will remind you of, bring to your remembrance everything that Jesus has told us. And see, that's important because as you read the word, there's going to be things that are going to be put on the inside of you. But it's not going to do you any good if you don't take what's been put inside of you and apply it to your life. And that's where Holy Spirit can help as you're going about. And that's where, you know, staying hooked up, remaining connected, that Holy Spirit can talk to you. And as you're going about your day and you might be having a challenging, it's just like when I was driving here and getting kind of all frustrated because, you know, I'm running late and da 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 da. And then I just felt on the inside, you know, just remain cool, calm, and collective. That's Holy Spirit reminding me that, hey, you know what? I got this. It's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. Because you getting all upset ain't going to make anything different. All right? And so Holy Spirit will remind you, bring to your remembrance everything that you've been taught. All right? But in order for him to bring it to your remembrance, you had to have been taught it. Either going to church, coming to the women's fellowships, or reading the word on your own, Holy Spirit will bring those things to your remembrance. So Holy Spirit is our helper. He's there to help us. That's one of they describe Holy Spirit as. He's our helper, all right? And how does he help us? Holy Spirit, he's our counselor. As counselor, he teaches us all things. And we saw that in that passage. He teaches us all things. And what he says is true. We got to realize that what he says is true. It may go against what the world is saying. The world may be saying something different. But if God says something else, I need to hold on to what God says. Because what Holy Spirit is saying, he's only saying those things that the Father says, it's true. Why? Because he's the Spirit of truth. And John 16, 13 through 14 talks about how the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. As counselor, he'll remind us of what the word says so we can make the needed changes so we can be better. He's going to remind us, but he's not going to do it for us. He'll remind us, but he's not going to do it for us. It's up to me to decide to take heed to what I'm hearing, to take heed to what Holy Spirit is saying, and to make the needed changes, all right? It says that Holy Spirit is our counselor. He's our helper. And we have heard pastors say this all the time about how that we have the ability to live right. And the reason we have the ability to live right, we have the ability to do better, is because of the help of Holy Spirit. He empowers us to live right. Romans 6, 4 and Romans 8, 13, especially I like reading the Amplified Version, talks about how Holy Spirit empowers us to live right. It's through the power of Holy Spirit that we're able to live right, that we're able to deal with the flesh. Because how many of you know that once you became born again, you still have to deal with this flesh? All right, that flesh girl is going to try and rise up and try and act ugly, say things that go completely against what the Word of God says. That flesh is going to try and lead you down the wrong path. But you know what? I can resist the flesh, not in my own strength. And if you've been trying to resist the flesh in your own strength, you've probably found that you were unsuccessful. You need help of Holy Spirit to help you keep that flesh in line, to help you be better, to help you live right, all right? Bible talks about living a holy, pure life. You know, the flesh doesn't want to do that, but Holy Spirit will help you do that, all right? Holy Spirit is our helper in that he provides the guidance and the wisdom that we need to live right. But once again, we got to have ears to hear what he says and not just hear it, but do what he says. All right. Proverbs 3:5-6 are really good verses that tell us that, hey, we got to live life in which we're trusting in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. It says in the King James Version, trust in the Lord with all your heart. That means your entire being. You got to trust him. All right. I don't look to the world. You know, whatever the world says, it's got to line up with what the word says. And that's got to be my gauge, the word. All right. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. And, you know, sometimes it may not make sense, but I can't lean to my own understanding. I got to trust that God's way is the best way. And if this is the direction, like even like with this message, like I said, I had another route that I was kind of going to go. But then when those three things came on the inside of me, I had to trust that, hey, well, you know what? This is the way that I need to go. And if I'm believing that this is something that God gave me, he's going to, you know, have it come, help or give me the information that I need and the thoughts that need to be conveyed, you know, to all of you. All right. So we got to trust in the Lord with all our heart. We cannot lean to our own understanding. In all our ways, we need to acknowledge him. And if we do that, he's going to direct our paths. In another translation, the Message Bible reads it this way: trust God from the bottom of your heart. Don't try to figure out everything on your own. And how many of us try to figure it out on our own? You know, and the way we figure it out, it may make sense. And the way we look at it, oh yeah, you know, I can see how that can work. But is that God's way? Is that what he's telling you to do? All right? So don't try to figure out everything on your own. I like this part. Listen for God's voice in everything you do, everywhere you go. Listen for God's voice in everything you do, everywhere you go. He's the one who will keep you on track. All right? It may not make sense up here. That's why all of these things tie together. I got to be a woman of the word, where I've got the word, because that's going to help be my gauge. All right. Because how many of you know there's a whole lot of voices out there? How do I know if that voice that I'm hearing is the Spirit of God, or if it's the evil one trying to deceive me? How do I know? Well, if I'm a woman of the word, I've got the word on the inside of me. Is that voice that I'm hearing, is it lining up with what the word says? If I'm a woman of prayer, I'm connected to God the Father. All right. I'm connected to Holy Spirit, and Holy Spirit can lead and guide me. So can you see how all of this ties in together and it will help you be a better woman? Listen for God's voice in everything you do. Everywhere you go, He's the one who will keep you on track. All right. Don't assume that you know it all. You know, that's why I think the Bible says that we have to approach God like a child. Children are just so receptive, and they'll believe anything that you tell them. You know, they'll believe it. But we need to have that mindset of a child, that whatever He says, whatever God the Father says, I don't have to figure it out. Like little kids, you know, when parents would tell them about Santa Claus, they didn't try and figure it out. Well, how does Santa come down the chimney? How does He go all over the world and give all toys to all the kids? How does He come down my chimney when I don't have a chimney? Kids, they don't think about that. So often we try and rationalize things with concerning the word, you know, because we want it to make sense up here. No, we got to trust God with all of our heart and don't lean to our own understanding. And when you have that relationship with Holy Spirit, the revealer of truth, He's going to help you understand. He's going to help you so that, you know, you can use whatever's being, what you're being taught to help you in your life. He's going to help you be a better woman, all right? Holy Spirit is the revealer of truth. John 16:15. And what He will do as the revealer of truth, He's going to illuminate scripture. And that's why it all ties together. Even in my everyday reading through the Bible, I got to trust Holy Spirit to reveal truth to me. That as I'm reading those scriptures, that Holy Spirit is going to illuminate those scriptures. Holy Spirit is going to reveal the truth of those scriptures. And Holy Spirit's going to help me apply what I'm reading and what I'm learning to my life. Holy Spirit's going to help connect all the different parts of the Bible so that it all flows together and I have an understanding and how I can apply it to my life. Holy Spirit is our intercessor. Holy Spirit helps us pray according to the will of God. Because how many of you know that if you want your prayers to be answered, you got to make sure that you're praying in line with what the Word of God says. And that's why, let me read this. Romans 8:26-27. It talks about how we may not know what we should pray for. And how many of you have ever felt like that? You know, I want to pray about this situation, but I really don't know how to pray concerning this situation. Well, Holy Spirit is our intercessor. And if you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit, everyone that's born again has the Holy Spirit on the inside. But there's another experience with the Holy Spirit where you are baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit, with the evidence of speaking in tongues that can take your prayer to another level. All right. And here in Romans 8:26, it says, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And those groanings and that intercession, it says, is according to the will of God. Perfect intercession. And so I use Holy Spirit to help me when I'm praying for my family. Especially when I'm praying for my husband, because see, I don't want to get involved in any witchcraft, you know, and some women, they get involved in witchcraft when they're praying for their loved one. Lord, help them to see the way that I'm trying to show him. You know, we're supposed to be our husband's helper, not his Holy Spirit. And I can help him by, now, when I pray those Ephesians prayer, that's the perfect will of God, because I am praying the word. So when I pray, I try and make sure that I got some type of scripture. I'm praying what the scripture says, because that's not witchcraft when I'm praying what the word says. But sometimes you can get on these tangents and you're praying for other people and you're actually getting involved in witchcraft, you know? But when you pray in the spirit, you can intercede for individuals and make perfect intercession concerning them. Holy Spirit is our strengthener. Philippians 4:13, it says, I have strength for all things in Christ who empowers me. I'm ready for anything and equal to anything through him who infuses inner strength in me. I'm self-sufficient, not because of me, but because of Christ's sufficiency in me. That's the amplified version. So Holy Spirit gives us the strength to face the challenges that we're going through in life. All right. Holy Spirit gives us the strength. And like I said, I've mentioned before about how life can have a draining effect, but what Holy Spirit will do, Holy Spirit infuses us with inner strength. That's when you're connected to him, all right, connected to him in the word and through prayer. He'll infuse you with inner strength so that you're not drained from life and you can be the woman that God wants you to be, all right? But we got to tap into that strength. All right. Every time I read the word, I'm drawing on strength from God. All right. Every time I pray and connect to God in prayer, I'm drawing on strength to help me through whatever I'm going through. Holy Spirit is our standby. And one minister had used the illustration with us living in Florida. We're used to generators. All right. What does a generator do? The generator is standing right by there that when it's needed, it can kick in and provide you with the power that you need. That's the same thing that Holy Spirit does. He's right there, standing right by you, all right? Standing right by. But we got to let him help, all right? We can't be the type of person, well, I'm just going to do it all myself. And then you wonder why you're tired and all worn out. Well, you had help, but you wouldn't let your help help, all right? So, we can be better women if we endeavor to be women of the word, making sure that time in the word is a priority, that we're reading the word, listening to the word, getting that word on the inside of us, meditating on what the word says, because the word's going to help you, all right? We can be better women if we're women of prayer, all right? Keeping that connection, because the world's going to try and do whatever it can to disconnect you from God. Don't allow it to do that, all right? Don't allow the world to do that. Remain connected. Make prayer a priority in your life. You need the help of Holy Spirit, all right? And as you're making prayer a priority, you know, realize the help that is available to you to be a better woman. Those scriptures that I gave about Holy Spirit, you know, read over those again. Allow them to get on the inside of you. And I try and visualize, like, even when I'm praying, I try and visualize that Holy Spirit is right there, that he's right there, all right? And as you're going about your day, when you're, you know, I do it all the time when I'm doing things concerning the church. Sometimes I get stuck on things, but then I look to Holy Spirit to help me, to give me wisdom and direction, and he never fails. You're going through a tough time, talk to Holy Spirit. All right, Holy Spirit, I need your help right now. I even ask Holy Spirit to help me as far as getting ready in the morning. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, you know, because sometimes curly hair just don't want to act right. And so I'll even ask, all right, Holy Spirit, you're going to have to help me. Father, you're going to have to help me. Help me get all this, you know, deciding what I'm going to wear and stuff like that. Because how many of you know that those little things, you can spend hours just trying to get yourself ready, and then you get out of the house late. Holy Spirit can help you. Holy Spirit can help you order your day. He wants to help, but we're not looking to him for help. Or sometimes we hear what he says, but we don't want to do it. All right? So we can be better women. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you, dear God, for the words that went forth, Lord. I pray, dear God, that you'll continue to minister to your women, dear God, that you'll continue to give them wisdom and direction on things that they need to change, Lord. There may have been some things that were mentioned today, Lord, I pray, Lord, that you help them make the needed changes. I pray, dear God, that other areas that they need to work on, that you give them wisdom, that you give them direction, dear God. I pray, dear God, those that want to develop a closer relationship with you, dear God, that as they take the initial step, as they draw nigh to you, Father, that you draw nigh to them and you help them in their walk with you, Father. I thank you, dear God, for the words that went forth in Jesus' precious name. Now, before we go, I just want to open up the altar. There may be someone here that may say, you know what, Miss Helen, you were talking about how if you're born again, you have the greater one on the inside of you. Well, I don't know if I'm born again. I don't want you to leave here today not knowing that you are born again, all right? In Romans, it talks about how that if you confess with your mouth and you believe with your heart, and if you confess Jesus as Lord, and if you ask him to come, it's simple, just as simple as asking him to come into your heart, asking him to be Lord of your life, telling him that you realize that you can't make it in this world without him, that if you do that, you will be saved. So if you've never done that and you want to do that today, I want to give you an opportunity. No one's eyes are open. If you want to do that, just raise your hand and we'll give you an opportunity to do that. All right, you all may be saying, you know what? I know, Father, he is Lord of my life, but there were some things that hit home with me. And Holy Spirit, the revealer of truth, brought to my attention some things that are not right in my life, and I want to make them right. If that is you, just raise your hand. We're not going to make you confess anything out loud. Just want to know how we can go about praying. If there's anyone here that needs prayer for forgiveness, 1 John 1:9 is written to believers, and it says that God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. All we have to do is ask him with a truly repentant heart, and he'll forgive us. Is that anybody? All right, Father God, I thank you, Lord, once again for these women. And I thank you, dear God, that you'll continue to minister to us, that you'll continue to give us wisdom. You'll continue to give us a direction, and you'll help us be better women. In Jesus' precious name, all in agreement say, amen, amen. Amen.